You have your Bibles this morning. Would you turn to John chapter 3? John, the third chapter. This morning we're celebrating with several people baptism, water baptism, how very important that is. We sometimes use the excuse of the thief on the cross. The thief on the cross went to heaven and he didn't need to be water baptized. How many believe he made heaven? Amen. Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. So sometimes we use that as an excuse that we really don't need to be water baptized to get to heaven. And although that's probably a truth, it is a true statement. The only requirement for being in heaven is that we would confess the Lord Jesus Christ with our mouth and believe in our heart that Christ, that God raised him from the dead. Scripture says you shall be saved. But an obedient Christian takes the next step to be baptized. We're going through the book of Acts and we just talked about Philip, the evangelist, talking to the Ethiopian eunuch. After talking with him and him receiving Christ, what did he say to Philip? When they reached the body of water, he said, what prevents me from being baptized? After the great message in Acts chapter 2, when Peter preached a great message and they came and said, what must we do? What do we do now? And he says, repent and do what? Be baptized. And we see Jesus when he was released into his earthly ministry. What did he do? He went down to the waters of baptism. So when we make a step, a public step, and say that we're going to be baptized, we are moving from a kind of a secret kind of, just in case, to a place where we're making an announcement to heaven, to each other, and to the darkness, to the devil, that we are no longer the person that we were. We are stepping into a new creation. Amen. That may have happened at some time. And I'm sensing in my heart, if you're here today, this water is here for you. If you're here today and you say, I've never made that commitment, never stepped in obedience to be baptized, I'm telling you that the waters of baptism are for you today. Plenty of change of clothes. If you, during this time, if you would like to do that, if you're not on the list, we don't have a list. Amen. Heaven has a list. That's right. And wants to be touched. If you want to be touched this morning, it's for you. John chapter 3, Jesus speaking with Nicodemus. Nicodemus was part of the ruler of the Jews. He was part of the Sanhedrin. Very religious man, very knowledgeable man, knew all the scriptures. You couldn't be in the Sanhedrin, you couldn't be a ruler without knowing the Word of God. Let me tell you, knowing the Word of God doesn't mean anything if you're not born again. Plenty of people go to hell and know the Bible very well. Knowledge of the Word of God does not get you into heaven. That's not going to be what creates that for you. And I'm talking to those that are being baptized today. I know that you've said in your heart, each one of you have told me you've made a commitment to Christ, but just to be sure, because whenever you make this commitment, you're making an announcement to heaven. I no longer am living my life for myself. I'm living for you. So he's talking to Nicodemus. Nicodemus says in verse 2, he says, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, if you look at the statement of Nicodemus and the statement of Christ, it looks like they're talking about two different subjects, and they are. But Jesus is more concerned with his soul than he is with saying that he's a teacher. Jesus knows he's a teacher. Jesus knows that he does signs and wonders. But let me tell you, Jesus is more concerned with our souls than we could be concerned with who he is. Belief doesn't get you there. Just believing that Jesus was a great man that did signs and wonders. No, he is our Savior. He is our Savior. And Nicodemus said to him in verse 4, watch what he says, said, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Totally misunderstood what Jesus was talking about. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. Turn to somebody and say, born again. Now that's used very flippantly in our society. We use it, we talk about being born again whenever we lose weight or whenever we get a facelift or whenever we do something, we're born again. But the Word of God says to be born again is to be a new creation in Christ. It's making that step from darkness to light. It's having your sins washed away. Nicodemus answered and said to him, in verse 9, how can these things be? He says, are you a teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. Verse 15 says, whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. These that are being baptized today have made a commitment to Jesus Christ, and their lives are no longer theirs. One thing that you need to remember, and that's for all of us. It's great to be in a baptism service. It's great to be in this kind of a service because it centers us, you and I, when we made that same step. We made a commitment publicly to serve God the rest of our lives. And you know what? God holds us to that commitment. That's not, and if we're not having prayers answered, if we're not having joy in our lives, if we're not hearing from God, it's not His fault. See, we make a commitment. These that are making a commitment today will hear God like they never heard God. Because God is invested fully in this relationship. He's invested His life. He poured out His blood for this relationship with us. Now all He's waiting for is for our total commitment. This isn't something that we fashion ourselves just a couple hours a week. It's our total commitment to Jesus Christ. Amen. We're totally committed to Him. God, I'm listening for You to run my life. My life is no longer mine. It does not belong to me. It belongs to You, God. Use it as You will. That's what these are doing this morning. And then the verse that everybody loves to quote, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know what everlasting life is? I looked it up in the Greek. It means everlasting life. It means that we'll live forever. God's eternal, we're everlasting. God's eternal because He's always been here. We're everlasting because we had a start, but we ain't got no end. Turn to somebody and say, I ain't got no end. We're going to live forever. Amen. That whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Watch what it says in the next verse. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. We need to remember this morning. We're baptizing these people. We need to remember that God loves the world. He loves the people in the world. And if we're going to see a great harvest, which I believe we will, we need to have a love for the world again. Not for what they do, but for them. Their souls breathing in and breathing out. Vera shared, there's going to be some people come in that are going to be offensive. You know what I say about people that are offended? Tough. Get over it. Offense doesn't kill you. It's just offended big wig. Come on, somebody. Go take a walk, slough it off, do something. What are you offended about? I hear so many Christians, I'm offended to see what's going on. What do you expect sinners to do? Sinners do exactly what they are supposed to do. They're being genuine. We are not being genuine when we judge them. We are not being genuine. God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world. There'll be a day at the judgment seat. There'll be a day at the judgment seat when those who said no to God will be condemned. But it ain't today. There'll be a day when God says to the sheep, come and enter into the kingdom, and to the goats, leave and go into the darkness. There'll be a day when all those things happen, but it's not today. Today is a day of salvation. God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through Him they might be saved. He who believes in Him is not condemned, verse 18 says, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. Now something happens in the waters of baptism to parse this, what we've just talked about. When you go into the waters of baptism, God is speaking to you about the relationship that He wants with you. Come on, somebody. You remember when you were water baptized. I dried off very quickly, but I stayed wet for a long time in my heart. God visits us, talks to us about His desire to speak to us and be the Lord of our lives. Turn to Romans chapter 6. I don't want to speak to the candidates for baptism this morning, and those that have yet to make a commitment for baptism, I think today's probably your day. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Verse 3 says this. It's up on the screen probably. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into His death? We didn't know we were coming for a funeral today, but we are. This is a funeral. The old men, the old people, what they used to be, no matter if they're 5 years old or 50 years old, when Christ comes into your life, the old person dies.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
You're a new creation. Watch what it says. For you were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. For, verse 5 says, if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. So, physically, when we go into the waters of baptism this morning, going under the water is tantamount to being buried. People often say to me, why don't we sprinkle people? And I said, I've never been to a cemetery where corpses are laying with just a little bit of dirt on top of them. Anybody ever been to that kind of cemetery? When you go to a cemetery, what do you see? Gravestones, and you're put 6 feet under. So you're covered, well, you're in a casket, but you're covered with dirt all the way around. So baptism means to die. It means you're buried with Christ. Just as Christ died, whenever we put you under the water this morning, heaven says you died with Christ. And when you come up out of the waters of baptism this morning, you're coming into newness of life.
Amen.
I don't care how long ago it was that you got saved and you said, Jesus, come into your heart. Heaven stands at attention when you get baptized. Because you're making an outward commitment to other than yourself. You said, well, I prayed a prayer a long time ago. When I was 8 years old, I said, Jesus, come into my heart, and I got saved. If you've never followed Christ in baptism, it is a command of Scripture to do so. Amen. Is it necessary for heaven? No. But you are missing out on so much. Because when heaven sees you make that kind of commitment, it pours out. Heaven pours out on you. Amen. Some tremendous things. Some will be baptized in the Holy Ghost this morning. Scripture talks about baptisms, plural. We'll get into that in just a little bit. So Romans 6, verse 6. Here's where I want to get to this morning for those who are being baptized. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. When you get baptized this morning, sin takes another place in you. It doesn't exist. If you decide to disobey God, sin comes in, but it's forgiven immediately because you're a child of God. If you ask forgiveness, you're no longer a slave of sin. To you older ones, you know what I mean by being a slave of sin. You do stuff that you don't really mean to do. Come on, somebody. Before you get saved. Once you're saved, Christ fights on your behalf. When you're baptized, it says, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him. Our old man is dead. It no longer exists. You're not a two-nature person. You don't have the evil nature in you and the good nature in you. You only have the nature of God in you. The old man is dead. Come on, somebody. If somebody told you anything different, they're lying to you. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Say, freed from sin. Freed from sin. Now, wait a minute. Turn to somebody and say, I've been free from sin. So what's that mean? It's like this. How many have ever been on a diet and you swore off certain foods, and it seems like every time that you go to somebody's house or you go to a restaurant, the food that you swore off, they're running a special on it. What's your special today? Ice cream and cake. And they bring it out and they show it to you. That's the way sin is to the Christian. To the sinner, sin is something that they have all the time. Their very nature is to sin. Nobody needed to teach you to sin. You sin very well. Listen, Scripture says, for he who has died has been freed from sin. So that means we make a choice to sin. If you're a Christian today, you're a Christian. You make a choice to sin. But in the waters of baptism, what you're doing is saying, God, I'm living for you. And God will help you say no to the ice cream and cake. Come on, someone. How many of you went ahead and ate the ice cream and cake? Like we're going to do today. You know, I want to take, just for a little parenthesis, I want to take a special offering up just in a little bit for two huge exhaust fans that we're going to put in the fellowship hall. So all the good smell of the food blows that way. Because it smells so good, it can kind of get us off. But that's for another. So when you get into the waters of baptism, you've been freed from sin. So it's no longer a have to, it's a choice. That changes a whole lot of stuff. See? Now, if we have died, verse 8, with Christ, we believe that we should also live with Him, knowing, verse 9 says, that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over Him. For the death that He died to sin once for all. Say, once for all. That's me. Say, that's me. But the life that He lives to God. Now, here it is, verse 11. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. I've often said, if I catch you talking to a dead person like they're alive, you and I need to talk. We probably need to go over here to Four County together. Maybe in shackles. We don't talk to dead people like they're alive. Amen. Turn to somebody and said, I died to sin. So sin has no dominion over me. Say it. Sin has no dominion over me. What we do is choose to sin because it feels good. Before we couldn't help it. Now we're doing it by choice. Now I want you to know we want to be a good example to you who are being baptized today. You who are being baptized today are making a commitment. And I want to tell you, God is on your side and giving you strength to sin no more. Sin is now a choice, not a have to. But I want to close by saying this, and then we'll get into the baptisms. Number one, you are confessing before people today. And these folks that are here today are going to help you be all you can be in Christ. Everybody said, we're going to help you. We're going to help you be all you can be in Jesus. See? Now here's how we help. We help by setting the example. We help by being patient. We help by praying with you. If you should fall, it's going to be okay. God forgives. Come on, somebody. The second audience today is heaven. And it really doesn't matter whether we're here or not. It does. Glad we're here. But God is watching today. And you're making a commitment to God and say, God, before when I said that prayer, I asked you into my heart, but today I'm committing. I've stepped over the line. I'm making a public announcement to heaven that I'm serving you. And all of heaven is standing watching. All the heavenly host, all the angels. What a crowd of witnesses that we have today. And the third group that you're saying something to is the devil. What you're saying to the devil is, I'm no longer going to live for you. I'm not going to listen to you. I'm on the other side. I'm going to attack you. I'm going on the offense. I'm going to do everything I can do to destroy your kingdom. That's what you're saying today. You say, how I do that? Just live a righteous life. That's destruction enough. Just live a righteous life. Do what God told you to do. Amen? Amen. One more verse. Ephesians 3. Turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians 3, verse 14. For this reason, Paul says, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, part of the rooted and grounded in love is in obedience, being baptized, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, length, depth, and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all the power above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations. So I want you to know that heaven is going to meet you today. That's the promise. That He would grant you according to His riches, that you might be strengthened with all might. And God is going to bless your footsteps. Amen. Say amen. Today's a new day at New Life. New day at New Life. Young people coming to Christ. It's a wonderful thing. It's a direct answer of prayer. We prayed for young people. I give you the young people. Future leaders of our church. right here. Amen. We just had our business meeting. We are having a meeting afterwards, but it's just information. That's all. Today we did business in the kingdom of God. Today we did business in the kingdom of God. Amen. So please stay. If you're not a member, doesn't matter. Please come eat with us. We're going to be sharing a little bit of information, talk about what happened last year and what God is definitely doing this year. We're going to be talking about that a lot. Won't keep you long. Lots of good food to eat. Would you pray with me as we thank God for what just happened and bless the food? Father, we thank you for the wonderful things that happened today. God, we were witnesses of new lives coming forth. Even those who before today should have died. Even ones that died and came back to life, God. We give you glory for these young people, Lord, that made a commitment. Lord, they didn't come planning it, but you moved on their hearts, Jesus. You've answered prayer in so many ways today, God. Lord, continue to answer prayers in their lives, God. We pray protection upon them. We pray, God, that you would go before them and make every pathway straight, that they would hear your voice. We come against doubt and unbelief and the devil. We tell you, you can't have these young people. They belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for them. We thank you for everyone that was baptized today. Give them a new vision and a new hope in you, Jesus. Lord, bless this time together at the after service, God. Lord, bless the food to us and us to you. And may our conversations lift and edify you. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. If God moves on your heart for prayer or for baptism, we are not emptying this until later. So whatever God says, let's be obedient to Him. God bless you and enjoy the after service.